G'day everyone, Brant Garvey here from No Excuses, and today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Mike House,
who's... G'day Brant.
G'day, how you doing? Who's a survival expert, a good friend of mine, an amazing, one of the best facilitators I've ever seen, and the author of Thrive and Adapt. I asked Mike to come in today to talk about pretty much what's going on in the world. I mean, both of us are seen as resilient experts, and I was just curious to see what it is that we've observed over the last couple of weeks. And in these scenarios, it's very much similar to things that we've had to overcome in the past, and picking up the pieces and moving forward from that. So, Mike, for starters, I'd maybe if you could give a bit of a background to the viewers, because obviously my audience is different than yours.
Sure. So I spent 20 years working as a survival instructor in one of the world's leading arid area survival schools, a civilian school. And the peak of that was taking people out for a 10-day experience in remote Australian outback with just a soapbox-sized survival kit and a couple of litres of water and whatever clothes they were standing up in. And they'd walk a couple of hundred Ks finding all their own food and water as they went. So a bit like Bear Grylls, only real.
Yep.
And
so you're saying Bear Grylls isn't real?
Some of his stuff's manufactured for television, let's just put it that way. And the whole intent of that exercise was to push people into duress. So my job as a survival instructor was to help people to experience what it was like to be deep in uncertainty in a set of circumstances where they felt like they had very little control over what was going to happen next, and they were having to make really tactical day-by-day decisions about how they worked together as a group and dealt with the uncertainty that they were in. And I paralleled that out into the world of organisational change and working with people in those circumstances too. So there's a lot going on right now globally that's very much like that. Circumstances where there's lots of uncertainty, lots of unknowns, rapidly evolving information where we don't necessarily know where the end point is and what it'll look like. There's probably literally no one that can give an exact here's how this will play out and what the impact will be on you or me or anyone else. But we do know the impact will be huge. It's already been significant. And that's what I'm interested in having a chat about, just sort of calming the farm a bit.
Yeah, I think the uncertainty is definitely playing on people's minds.
Huge.
For me, and I've been able to make a few really powerful observations in the last few weeks, I'd love to hear some of the examples that you've seen and then what your thoughts and experience are on those reactions of what you've seen.
Yeah, great. So first of all, I guess I'd frame this in the context that we as humans are social animals. So we're, you know, going back a while, we were closer to pack or herd animals. Now we're social animals. That sort of tight herd thing's been broken down a little bit by the modern world we live in. But that means we're contagious both in terms of catching viruses but also emotional states and how we see each other. We're connected. We're deeply evolved to be with each other and in company with each other, and to sort of watch out for and defend each other. And the third thing is that we're courageous as well. You know, we're pretty courageous people. So some of the things I've observed around that contagious part of that is just how much, you know, here in Australia we've seen massive panic buying, and for some reason toilet paper was the thing that went nuts. I think we're into week two or three where it's very difficult to get toilet paper in our state.
Which is crazy because it's not like it's a global phenomenon. It's localised to here.
Yes.
And I think that that's where, like we were talking about this before we went live, understanding like where are you getting your information from?
Yes.
And then what's the credibility of that information? Because I don't know. I don't know these facts, but I mean, there was a lot of rumours going around that all toilet paper was manufactured from China and hence why we weren't going to get it, where there's a large percentage of toilet paper that's manufactured here in Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's the contagion thing. We, in a herd, if something startles us, fight or flight activates and we want to get away from whatever the threat is. And we actually do that without thinking. Part of that mechanism is designed to shut our the thinking part of our brain down and just take action. And I was noticing even yesterday, you know, we're surprise, surprise, we're actually running low on toilet paper in our household. So I went shopping for it yesterday and I went to four different supermarkets before I actually found any. And there's that sense as you're walking down an aisle where something's empty of going, oh, gee, there's like it feels like a shortage. It feels it's a little bit anxiety inducing. It's, oh, what do I need? And when you see a pile of the stuff, it's very easy to get into that mindset of, oh, I need six of those because there's none around. You know, I better store up for the winter. And none of that really helps the circumstance that we're in.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been asked by my wife plenty of times to stock up on stuff and I flat out refuse to do it. I'm like, I'm not going to contribute to the problem. I will buy as I can. One of the things that really stood out for me in this whole scenario, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it, is that we recently just had a fairly massive disaster with the bushfires, right?
Yes, yep.
And what really stood out from that, even from a global perspective, was how much everyone had each other's back and were able to support. And there was just massive amounts of generosity.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious, do you think that that was because there was a small demographic affected by the fires, but the rest of Australia knew that they were safe, therefore they were more willing to be generous? Whereas in this case where everyone's affected globally, the more natural tendency or the more inbuilt tendency is to be selfish?
I think there's a few elements in that. So one is absolutely that when you've got a demographic that's distinctly affected and the boundaries of that are very clearly defined, as you say, it's very easy to send assistance and support from other parts that are not affected. I think there's a thing in Australia as well around bushfires that says, you know, we're all potentially vulnerable to that. So there's already a community consciousness around bushfire as a potential disaster. And, you know, for pretty much all of our history, there's been people rallying around communities and each other when fires are on. The other thing for me, I wrote an article about this last week, was that it's much more easily defined. And I think that's one of the factors that's really kicking in now is the uncertainty of it. As tragic as the bushfires were and as widespread as they were, you can plot it on a map. You can see exactly what's happening. You can get a weather forecast and say, okay, the likely fire behaviour will be, here's the resources we need to contain or to control the fire. Here's the places that are at threat. Let's evacuate those places. And it's very tangible in terms of recovery as well. If your house burns down, I can physically come to your place and say, mate, can I give you a hand to clean that up? Yep. And if it comes to stacking bricks on top of each other, I can turn up with my gloves on and say, let's get stuck into it.
Yep.
It's very tangible. The flip side of that with coronavirus is that there's not a lot that's tangible. We can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see where the boundaries are. There's lots of efforts by people way smarter than me around the world at the moment trying to model and predict growth rates and where it'll go and how it'll spread and how many people will be affected. But it's actually very, very hard for the average person to get their head around it. You know, some of the best minds in mathematical and medical modelling are going, actually, we don't know.
Yeah.
So for us, it's...
And you can't see it. I mean, and you can't see it in the incubation period either. Which, be any period of days. And so that's another part that you can't see. And there's also never been anything like this, you know.
No.
Other than what we've had something maybe...
Spanish flu in 1918 or something. So unless you're 100...
Not recently.
Unless you're 100 plus years old, you've never seen a global pandemic on this kind of scale. So what that does, I think, is it feeds into that fear very easily because I'm standing next to you. I've actually got no idea whether or not you're a threat to my health.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be.
And same to you.
Exactly. And it could be that you've already got the virus, but you're not going to have symptoms or you're not going to have them for days.
Yep.
And, you know, we just don't know that. So I think there's that thing that plays on our that part of us that goes, well, if I can't see it, it's very hard for me to run from it. So I'm just going to play reactive whack-a-mole with just about everything, which I think drives some of that stockpiling kind of behaviour and that sort of shutting down and being much more insular around me or my family, and trying to sort of wall out and block out other people.
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of negative that comes from this. I mean, it's depressing, it's affecting everyone, and we've got the health implications, and then we've got the economic implications. I mean, you and me are both in the events industry. And I mean, I've had many conversations with people that are in that industry that are far worse affected than even me.
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess that in these situations, we always have a choice, though. We can either choose to focus on the negative and then lay down and surrender, which means that we're exactly where we are and we stay there.
Yeah.
Or we can choose to focus on what the situation is, focus on the facts, and then pick up the pieces and look at what we do tomorrow and the day after that.
Yeah.
Now, I know we touched on this, but one of my observations is that there's been an incredible amount, and this, I think, comes back to the uncertainty, where where people are grabbing some piece of information and they're really not checking the credibility of it. And I mean, all it does is adds to the chaos.
Yes.
So as far as a piece of advice that I'd like to throw out there, if you hear something, the first thing you do before you tell anyone else is fact check it. I mean, we know the Global World Health Organization is the benchmark of credible data. And so by all means, I mean, if you can't find the information on there, then you should be really skeptical about what is. And then the next is probably the Australian government for us. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, look, absolutely. So, you know, one example I saw overnight was an announcement that Australia was going into lockdown today, and that got sort of propagated via a number of sources. You know, one of the things with social media, it's very easy and quick to spread information, and people are hungry for information because it helps us to feel like we've got some certainty. It turned out that was actually pretty much just a duplication of the announcement made of lockdown in Malaysia overnight. And exactly as you said, if people had just taken a bit of time to go Google Australian government announcements about lockdown, they would have seen that there actually isn't anything currently here. It doesn't mean that it won't happen. It's still being considered by the government. But I think one of the things that we can do about that contagion of fear and how easy it is to rattle us is, absolutely fact check things.
Just take a few minutes, think, and then check it before you go passing it on to anyone, because the momentum can build so quickly.
Absolutely. And, you know, that then fuels the cycle. So if there's an announcement today that we're going into lockdown, the likelihood of, you know, another big rush on stores as people try to stock up, you know, is pretty huge, pretty likely. So all of those chains of information have a direct impact on how individuals and how we feel collectively. Fact check, I reckon is one of the best things we can do. I think there's a real leadership piece around at the moment, Brant. And for me, this is whether we lead ourselves or whether we lead a family or whether it's a team at work or a broader community. We all lead in some way. But there's just a need to kind of rein that in a little bit, because it's so easy for us to just fly into a reactive fear-based mode rather than to think rationally. And, you know, while this is fast moving and rapidly evolving, it's not like it's a minute by minute threat. You know, we don't have to run screaming from the building.
Yeah.
It's not imminently life threatening. And so just taking the time to check information, to consider what's the impact of things that I will say. Part of that connected social animal thing is, it's useful for me to be able to pass useful information on to you.
Yep.
So we see things that seem legit and we want to share it with our network. Yeah, just press the pause button. It's pretty easy to do.
I completely agree. I reckon it's probably the relevant point now to move on to, based on your experience of what you've had in the past, what are some practical things and that you would suggest kind of using mentally at the moment to how you handle this day by day for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, great question. So I think for me, one of the biggest things that shows up in my space, there's a bucket of research about the survivor personality. So these are people that do well against the odds, And the research is done across prisoners of war, people in military engagements, people that have had dire medical diagnoses and have, you know, limited time to live, etc. Lots of different fields that they've researched. What the thing that shows up in every single version of that research is that people that stack the deck in their favour are very good at looking at what's within my control and acting effectively there. Mm-hmm. And they're also very good at looking at the reality of the circumstance so that they don't blinker themselves to the reality. But they also don't lose sleep over it.
Yep.
So, you know, the reality looks like, okay, there will be an economic impact. There'll be potentially on all of us individually a health impact. What that looks like in its in the fullness of time is hard to gauge.
Yep.
So in the meanwhile, what can I control? So I can control things like pressing pause, checking data. I can control things like the sources of data I look at. So for me, one of the things I'm doing is actively choosing to only engage with news sources at most twice a day so that I'm not in that state of
constant anxiety.
It's like, let me check in and see what's going on but not go down that rabbit hole. If I'm going to think about isolation, then, you know, if I'm buying food and supplies for my household rather than rushing the store and doing six trolleys and going nuts, I'm aware of the fact that, you know, 30 days with zero food for a healthy person has no medical implications. You know, when we get back into a decent diet, all of the things we would suffer in that 30 days would go away. So for most of us, what we've already got at home would get us through even up to a month of isolation if we had to do it. So rather than charge the store and put huge pressure on our supply lines and chains, just slow that down. If you're going to buy some extra stuff, do it gradually over a number of days rather than loading a trolley, because that also has the impact of it looks less panicky in the shop, which is less contagious to everybody else. And then the other one is just the really obvious stuff of hygiene. You know, the specialists are saying washing your hands with soap regularly, social distancing, so, you know, you're avoiding handshakes and hugs and things like that are a couple of really intensely practical things that we can do that limit the impact and the spread of the virus. So for me, that's the territory, you know, what's within my direct control and focus my energy there.
Yeah, and look, I would just reiterate what Mike's saying is that from my experience and what I've found is that it kind of ties a lot of the pieces together, which is being realistic, like understanding the severity of what's going on based on the information provided by the most credible sources.
Yes.
And then thinking about that and then what the real risks are. I mean, risk calculation and understanding, you know, like I don't know what we're at as of today, but, you know, maybe yesterday or the day before there was 28 cases in Western Australia of coronavirus. Being realistic about those stats and then what the risks are for you and as an individual, and then using that data to make calculated decisions on what you're going to do next. I mean, as we know, prime example in the event industry, right? Like, so there's potential that my race in Norway, the Norseman, could be postponed or cancelled.
Yep.
All the conferences in the immediate future have been cancelled or will be in the next few days. And in that scenario, you know, you and me are very similar. We've looked at what the situation is, what the possible risks are, and how we can adapt and then make decisions moving forward. So, you know, for example, with us, we're looking at ways we can do things online because we know that social distancing is important to reduce the spread of infection. And that's one way that we can continue to do what we do and help people, but also do it in a safe way that's responsible.
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the things. I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to add before we wrap up on what we've spoken about today.
Look, I think that adaptability piece is really key, Brant. You know, there's many times, certainly that's one of the reasons that I like hanging out with you is you've been through a lot of situations where, okay, that door just got slammed in my face, so now what? And
I was really looking forward to this one not slamming in my face. I can tell you it doesn't make it hurt any less. But anyway, no. We'll wait and see.
And look, that's the thing, you know, I reckon we will face challenging times over the next weeks and months. The impact of that will be hard to gauge from here. The reality is we probably won't know the full impact of it until we're out the other side of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's very much about what can I do in my patch to calm that panicky kind of feeling and do that for others around me and then adapt. Yeah, adapt your thinking and adapt what you do.
There's one thing I want to close on, and I think that you'll be very similar on this. It's so easy to, in moments of fear like we're facing at the moment, to slip into a selfish and also hostile and negative mindset. Absolutely. And we've seen examples of this throughout the world and also in Australia, some of it being shopping centres when it's coming to buy canned food. And as Mike said, like most of us could survive 30 days without actually having to go buy anything. So like what I want to reiterate in this moment, even though, and don't get me wrong, it sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
But again, just stop, pause and try and be empathetic to other people. I see aggression on the road starting to build. Every time that you notice yourself, try and catch yourself spiraling into that more negative or more aggravated mindset and just go, look, everyone is going through a varying degree of what's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Stop and look for opportunities to help a fellow person, human, pet, animal, whatever it is, look for opportunities to help and focus on that rather than let's be selfish and grab everything I can and push everyone out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, back to where I started with social animals, you know, we're contagious, connected and courageous. For me, the courage part of that is, you know, if there's one really, really positive thing I think that comes out of coronavirus is that it reminds us just how connected we are as a species across the whole planet. It gives us a real appreciation of how chained together we are and how reliant we are on so many systems and other people.
How a human is a human, not based on their race. It doesn't discriminate. This one's going for anyone.
Yeah. And we're not an island. So, you know, it's really easy for us to think that we've got everything we need in our own little world, but we're reliant on supply chains and all sorts of things around us. This really highlights that. So for me, it's about to whatever degree you can, connect with people who are around you, and that could be neighbours, it could be immediate family, it could be work colleagues, to whatever degree you're able to do that, and think a little bit collectively, because there's no doubt that we can get each other through this and come out the other side of it stronger, but we'll see a fairly dark side to ourselves if we play that it's all about me game.
Yeah, it's definitely a team sport. And so, think of it that way, like everyone working for each other rather than if you try to do this by yourself, you'll definitely feel the repercussions of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lastly, I wanted to close with something I saw on a recent TED talk, and that was in regards to the face mask with this coronavirus, that it's not actually for keeping the virus out. It's for sick people to wear to keep the virus in, basically, and then for medical professionals. So there's no advantage in going to buy them. Let's keep those stocks there so the people that need them can use them.
Absolutely.
It's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you, Mike, today. And likewise, thank you, Brent, for everyone that's joined us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and then Instagram back in the back corner there. Hopefully it all worked. We haven't been able to really check it. Absolute pleasure. We'll be doing these things regularly. Me and Mike will be doing some stuff in the future together, which is really exciting. If there's anything you wanted to close by, make sure you check out Mike's profile. He's providing heaps of relevant information at the moment, and you can maybe close on that.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I'm doing Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Perth time for the foreseeable future, a bit of a webcast that's just about helping people to manage that territory that's within their control as we watch this unfurl. The other thing is that my book, Thrive and Adapt, this is basically loaded with tactics for individual people to have an adaptable mindset under pressure. And we're basically making PDF versions of that available free of charge. So if you if you sent me an email at mike@mikehouse.com.au, we'd be more than happy to send you a free copy of that, full of useful tactics for times like these.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. And we'll be back shortly.
Thanks, Brent.
Cheers.